If you live in Oregon and plan to vote in the May 15th election, two things to know. One, you have to be registered by tomorrow, Tuesday, April 24th. Two, if you want to vote for partisan candidates, you have to affiliate with either Democrats or Republicans to get a partisan primary ballot. Oregon is a closed primary state. And the Democratic primary for the 2nd Congressional District is certainly an exciting one. Seven people filed to run as Democrats for the seat now occupied by Republican Greg Walden. We heard Republicans last week. Today we have the van load of Democrats, beginning in the studio with Jim Carrey from Green Springs, who was a lawyer, prosecutor, and former procurement specialist. Jim Carrey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Eric Burnett joins us by phone from Hood River, where he worked for a long time in the maritime industry. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Michael Byrne from Parkdale is with us as well. He is a stonemason. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Roz Mason joins us. She's from the Dalles, a chaplain, a teacher, and a resilience coach. Hi, Roz.
Pleasure to be here.
Jamie McLeod Skinner is from Terrebonne. She is a lawyer and natural resource professional and former city council member in Santa Clara, California. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, also an Ashland High graduate. Next.
Okay, that good thing to add there. And Jenny Nearing joins us from Bend. She is a medical doctor, internist, and palliative care specialist. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Tim White is also from Bend, and he is retired from the car manufacturing business, many years with Chrysler. Hi, Tim.
How are you doing?
Very good. So why don't we start from the back end, since we just went alphabetically forward. Let's go alphabetically backwards. Tim White, give us the quick 30-second sketch on why you want to be in Congress.
Well, it all started with the election of Trump and what I consider the absolute downgrade of civil discourse in this country, and I would like to do something about it. Yes, I was a retired CFO and living the good life here in Bend, and I just said I can't sit back and watch what's happening in the country and not try to do something. So I'm putting my money and my time where my mouth is and trying to and do this.
And Jenny Nearing, the quick sketch on why you wanted to run.
As a doctor, I've spent my entire career trying to help people lead healthy and active lives. And this last year, I feel like everything that helps people and communities to be healthy has been threatened, starting with healthcare costs and access, but moving on to educational opportunities, fair wages, and care for our seniors.
Jamie McLeod Skinner, what got you to run?
Our district is hurting. We have people struggling throughout our district, and I have a lifetime of public service in elected office. My roots are in the district. Also have a real focus on water, which is a critical issue throughout the district. So I appreciate the support I've gotten from educators and other local elected officials who really believe I can do the best job and beat Walden.
Roz Mason from the Dalles, tell us about what got you motivated.
Well, I realized that my background, being as a child in Hermiston and connections to Eastern Oregon, as well as my experience as a chaplain and a resilience trainer dealing with high stress, finally, being a science teacher who had worked with climate change, I understood that climate change is something that is really rewriting the game. And my unique set of experiences has prepared me to jump in and be that person. I say I'm a deep purple Democrat. That means I can actually build the bridges that are going to turn the tide and win it against Walden.
Michael Byrne in Parkdale, why do you want to be in Congress?
Well, in case no one noticed, our democracy is in peril. There's danger of a complete societal breakdown on racial, economic, and geographic terms. Our climate is at risk, and the big question we have all asked is, where is Walden? We have no representative working on any of these issues that are going to, well, like I said, I don't want to alarm anybody, but there's a real problem, so I'm running.
Eric Burnett, why are you running?
Well, I live a couple blocks from Greg Walden, and I've known him since 1991. I even voted for him at one point when he was sort of the moderate, rational Republican who could cross the aisle and get things done. Right now, at this point, it's pretty clear that he's AWOL. He's AWOL on health care. He actually attempted to do great damage to a lot of constituents in the district. He is AWOL on working family incomes, and he is AWOL on infrastructure. He's just not representing us in the district anymore at all, and that's my motivation.
And Jim Crary, finally, here in the studio, what motivates you not just to run, but to run a second time?
Campaign finance reform. I want to give a voice to the people. I am so sick and tired of Greg Walden representing the big-dollar corporate special interest out-of-state contributors, and I want to represent the constituents. I want their voice to be heard in Washington, D.C., rather than Greg Walden's big dollar contributors.
Okay, I want to go and ask each of you about things that jumped out at me as I looked at the issues that you listed as important on your various campaign materials. I'm going to go middle out this time, so we'll start with Roz Mason in the Dalles. One of the things you talk about is overcoming toxic stress. How do we do that through Congress?
Well, it starts with understanding how our brains work. A lot of what we see today is a result of folks not understanding that when we're in situations of crisis, we switch into fight, flight, or even freeze mode. We're seeing freeze around the climate change in action. But when especially the fight or flight kicks in, we see a lot of animosity, cutoffs. Our prefrontal cortex, which is our thinking part of our brain, science tells us it's not there to use. So what I bring is decades of experience in those kinds of environments that gives me a heads up on keeping some of that poise and really connecting with folks in a way that leaves no one out. So I talk a lot about dignity, and I genuinely can bring that to the campaign, because to shift the balance, we've got to have a new way of doing business, and it involves a paradigm of connection.
That sounds like it's great in a one-on-one setting, but how do you make this a big thing for the 600,000 or so people you represent if you get elected?
Well, let me challenge you on that. I'm a former seventh grade science teacher, and the fact that I can create calm in a group of 30 seventh graders means that I can do this, pardon me, in much larger groups. So I would say it is absolutely portable.
And Jamie McLeod Skinner, I want to ask you about your position on education without debt. How do we do that?
It's an investment we bring back to shift some of the resources we've had, both from excessive military involvement. The other thing is reversal of the tax change in the tax code that just went through. We have are incurring a $1.5 trillion debt from the recent tax bill, and we should be having our corporations pay their fair share and bring that back. But actually, the main focus that I've had is on water. That's the professional career I've had, from designing systems to developing policy to also working on the water rights case in Klamath. And that's really a key issue throughout our district. But the education piece is just part of the social infrastructure that I talk about. The physical infrastructure is the economic development piece throughout our district, and that addresses everything from housing, internet access, broadband access throughout the district, renewable energy, which helps to address climate change, and then also transportation systems.
All right, we'll come back and visit more with everybody else when we come back from a break, which we have to go to right now. We are talking to all seven of the Democrats running for Oregon's second congressional district nomination: Tim White, Jenny Nearing, Jamie McLeod Skinner, Roz Mason, Jim Crary, Michael Byrne, and Eric Burnett. Most of them on the phone. Jim Crary in the studio with me. We'll come back, and you can join the conversation by phone or email with your questions and comments when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It is a crowded primary field among Democrats running for Oregon's second congressional district, the seat currently occupied by Greg Walden. He is running for re-election. Two Republicans oppose him, and whoever emerges in that primary will get the winner of the field we're talking to right now. We have seven candidates arrayed from across the vast second district, from one end of Oregon to the other. They are Eric Burnett, Michael Byrne, Jim Crary, Roz Mason, Jamie McLeod Skinner, Jenny Nearing, and Tim White. Questions or comments for our guests on the exchange are welcome at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So picking up where we left off with things that jumped out at your sets of issues that you identified, Jenny Nearing, I want to talk to you about seniors, because that was on your list. What would you like to do for seniors?
So we know that our senior population is currently at 50 million people at 65 plus, and by 2030, in just 12 years, we'll be at 70 million. We need to actually shore up and not destroy our Social Security system to make sure they're actually providing adequate, safe retirement funds for this aging population that is increasingly entering poverty and homelessness. And we also need to be looking at our social structures that are supporting people being able to age well and in their own homes. That means we need to be focusing our, not just our health care, but our social structures on making sure that housing is affordable and supported in communities, and funding and supporting community programs that allow people to build community and locally get the support they need with transportation options as they find themselves more limited, deal with social isolation. And there are many community projects which have been highly successful in small pockets that we need to federally be incentivizing and funding to help support those seniors.
Tim White, you list among your issues animal welfare, and I wonder what, in what sense you want to take care of animal welfare in Congress.
Well, basically, the laws are left at the state level, and I think we ought to be looking at what I consider pretty inhumane treatment of farm agriculture. This is things like what they call CAFO, it's confined feeding operations. I will point out that several months ago, I talked about the dangers of what was going on with the dairy farm up in Murrow. I said, there's no way they'll contain the output of urine and feces. And then lo and behold, 3 months later, they say they're going to shut the operation down because it's containing the drinking water up there. This is just an example of where the federal government needs to step in and tell the states, yes, you have your rights to do these things, but you also have a right and an expectation to protect the people of the state. And when you allow animals to be mistreated, put 30,000 cows together, which is horrible for the animals, and then what you find out, that there is a close relationship with how you treat your animals and what happens to the general population. So I, by supporting animal rights, what you end up doing is supporting human rights as well.
Okay. Up next, Jim Crary from Green Springs. I want to hear how you propose to beat Citizens United legislatively.
Oh, that's great. Public financing of elections. We have public financing of elections in Oregon, but it's back-end loaded. You give $50 to somebody, you file your taxes, you get your money back. I would front-end load it. I would give every registered voter $50. The only thing they could do with it would be to contribute to an issue like a referendum or an initiative or a candidate they could vote for. We have almost 500,000 registered voters in this district. That would be $25 million. I had 106,640 votes in 2016. If everyone that voted for me gave me $10, that's $1,066,400. You can run one heck of a campaign, and then people are going to be coming back not only for your votes, but also for your contributions, and you're going to have people representing constituents, not contributors.
Eric Burnett, I wanted to ask about, from your list of issues, sustainable energy independence. How do we get there?
Well, I think it's pretty simple in one sense, and certainly complicated in another. The simple part is that we have to just make up our minds as a high-level policy goal that we are going to get off of petroleum based fuels. It's just time to do it. Climate change is real. It's happening. We're causing it, and the vast majority of it is burning oil for energy, or burning petrol fuels for energy. Now, once that is done, we have some remarkably good examples here in Oregon. The east end of the gorge is very nicely exploited wind energy. Go to Lake County and Lake County Resources Initiative, LCRI, has done a really great job with solar. We just need to fund these alternatives because they're the only alternatives we have that work. So do I want to put the oil companies out of business? No, I just want to put them out of the energy business.
Michael Byrne in Parkdale, tell us about your view on wise use of federal lands.
Wise use of federal lands is what that means, actually, is federal lands. We have to identify that as being our lands. And District 2 is uniquely situated because we live in such an incredible landscape that really shapes who we are and what we are and how we think about things. And when lands become resources, when you commodify the woods, the grasses, it's just a who do they belong to? And it's actually, this is could be the root of my entire campaign. It's like, we've got people, we've got corporations, we've got profits, we've got who does the government work for? Who does it serve? And by extension, these public lands, whose are they and for what purpose? And for someone to say, as they're driving anywhere in this district, oh my gosh, that is beautiful. And that means something. And the ability to pull off on the side of the road and set up camp, that means something. I had a slogan earlier in my campaign, keep the yellow gates open, because as a lot of these lands are being leased or sold off or otherwise developed, we lose access to those things. Wise use means, there's land that's well suited for timber harvest. There's land that is suitable for mineral development. All these things can be done. They just have to be done correctly, but understanding that the lands belong to all of us. They're part of us. They don't just belong to us. They're part of us. And ask me a question, Jeff. I want to go a little further on this. What comes to your mind?
I will get there in just a few moments when we do the next round of questions. We've gone through this one here. I want to remind people we're talking to all seven Democrats running for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. Michael Byrne, Jim Crary, Roz Mason, Jamie McLeod Skinner, Jenny Nearing, Tim White, and Eric Burnett. And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. I want to get just the same question for all of you now again. How connect to the people of this district when there are 45,000 more Republicans than Democrats? I mean, Greg Walden's margin over Jim Crary in 2016 was 166,000 votes. This is the only district of the five in Oregon where the GOP outnumbers Dems. So how do you connect with the people of this district effectively? Let's start with Jamie McLeod Skinner this time.
Yeah, absolutely. So The thing to focus on is what we all have in common, and what I like to talk about is Oregon values, because we all care about our families, we all care about our communities. So I think what's been key to this is doing one's homework. I've spent the past 10 months doing this full time, traveling throughout the 20 counties, putting over 30,000 miles on my Jeep to connect with folks, really to hear and listen to what the concerns are and focus on those concerns. In many cases, well, let me take Burns, for example. The number one issue is the dropping groundwater table. And I've sat in on the meetings where folks are coming together across party lines to deal with local issues and address those local issues. In John Day, a huge issue is broadband access. So it means showing up, it means hearing concerns, and it means being able to provide solutions. And this is one of the things that makes me unique in this race, is actually having the public policy experience, having elected office experience and knowing how to work to craft solutions across party lines to move forward. And I'm seeing support, and I'm getting support from folks across the political spectrum, because people really, they want solutions, and they want someone who can do that job. And those folks, and even conservative Republicans in Eastern Oregon, are really frustrated with Walden. They want a change, but they also want someone who's connected to the district. And my roots in the district are also really key, from finishing high school in Southern Oregon, my mom teaching in Southern and Central Oregon,
okay,
my wife's family ranching in Eastern Oregon for over 100 years. Those roots really matter to folks.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Eric Burnett in Hood River, same question then. How do you appeal to Republicans in a district where there are 45,000 more of them than your party?
Well, I guess to echo what Jamie said, I think Jamie is completely right, and it's sort of been borne out by my experience too. Republicans are not happy with Greg Walden at this point at all. His support is a mile wide and an inch and a half thick, I think. The way to connect, in my view, is this. You focus on the things that matter to every single person every single day. And for me, it's healthcare, it's income, and it's infrastructure. And those are the big things. These things matter to everybody every day. And I would say, too, also, Tim White and I attended the Central Oregon Patriots candidate forum, and we were the only two Democrats there, and it was very interesting. When both Tim and I were speaking, I far more frequently, about 2-to-1, noticed heads bobbing up and down more than they bobbed from side to side. So there's much more of an intersection there, I think, than people realize.
Jenny Nearing, how do you appeal to a district that has many more Republicans than Democrats running as a Democrat?
Well, I echo the answers you already had. We are more alike than we are different. as I've been touring the district and talking with people, whether they're business owners, people working in the healthcare industry, people on Medicaid expansion or struggling to have their insurance between jobs, everyone understands that healthcare is a primary issue because of the high costs and how little we're getting from it. And everybody wants the cost to come down, and they want to have access to it, and they want it to help them be healthy. And that is a nonpartisan issue, so it's a starting place to talk about everything else. And as I said, healthcare is only a small portion of what we need. It's 10 to 20% of what keeps us healthy. So the rest of it is really focusing on how do we have a strong economy and how do we support our families? How do we have wages that we can live off of? And we know that all of the economy, healthcare, and educational things are all tied together along with the infrastructure. And those are all nonpartisan issues that everyone's concerned about. So it's a great place to start. I think the other thing is that I've recently announced my endorsement by Congressman Lesa Coyne, who not only endorsed me but said, you know, Jenny, I already hear you talking like a congresswoman. I think you can get this done. And I hope to live up to that expectation from him and his confidence in me.
Roz Mason, your thoughts on running as a Democrat in a heavily Republican district? Roz, you there?
Yes. So we have to consider the unique situation here in Eastern Oregon and Walden's long tenure. As was mentioned earlier, he unfortunately has essentially sold out to the moneyed interests. And on the plus side, that means when we can get people's attention, we can tell a new story. However, the challenge is going to be overcoming the static. And so far, we've seen his response to the seven of us running is a derisive dismissal of us. My personal background, you know, I'm a teacher, a trainer, chaplain. I was a former long-haul truck driver. I have a master's degree from Harvard. So one of my taglines is, my congresswoman is a long-haul truck driver from Harvard. You know, I'm somebody who can break through the static because my story is so unique and different. And those experiences working alongside and being a working-class person myself really allows me to connect on a genuine level. And so what I've seen time and time again is that my understanding of working in rural people means that I'm more sensitive around issues of security, guns, how that's an identity issue, and we need to be very careful and understand and respect the role that guns play and how they're a stand-in for how we protect our families. As a working person myself, I understand financial stresses. And when I get in front of people, they understand that I understand it. And so time and time again, I've seen that genuineness, integrity, courage to stand up against what is essentially, you know, somebody who says, well, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's about as much as I want to say negative against Greg Walden, because to make this possible, we've got to honor the fact that folks have felt loyal to him, and now we have to win their loyalty. And that is not something to be taken lightly.
Michael Byrne.
But I can do it.
Okay. Michael Byrne, your thoughts on running as a Democrat in a heavily Republican district?
Well, I don't know if it's a Republican district as much as it's an independent thinking district. All the Republicans I talk to, they're, and the Democrats too, we're independent. We think for ourselves. Once we get past some of these cultural biases, and the demographic that I'm wanting to talk about and that I'm representing are the 80% of us cross party lines that have less than $1,000 in savings. We feel like no one's representing us. The Millionaires Club in Washington, D.C. has no idea what kind of life we live. They care nothing about us. And those are the people that I'm representing, and that's not a Democrat or a Republican. I've lived and worked in this district for over 50 years. I understand these issues. I've lived these issues. So that's not an issue. Everyone is there. The Republicans aren't satisfied. The Democrats aren't satisfied. We know that something's got to change. Go back to my first remarks, why I'm running. The system's broken. It's corrupt. Just to keep talking about Democrats and Republicans, that's part of the problem. We have to start talking about people and there you go.
Okay. Jim Crary, been down this road before. How do you appeal to a heavily Republican district as a Democrat?
You talk with them. You it's like the old Venn diagram. You find where the circles overlap. You find what's you have in common. You start talking. You get some trust, and you work out from there. And who I'm appealing to are not only people that are traditional undervoters, Native Americans, Hispanics, young people, but I'm also reaching out to moderate Republicans, moderate non-affiliated voters. And there's a lot of them out in the district. They're not happy with the representation that they're not getting from Walden. So it's going to be reaching out to all those different groups.
Tim White, your answer on how to appeal to people in a heavily Republican district?
Well, look, I have a background in economics and a graduate degree in finance, and I spent all my career ending up as a CFO. So I'm the facts and figure guy. So what I'm trying to do is show people here's reality, and I'll give you a couple examples. You know, Walden puts out his spin letters periodically, and the last one a few weeks ago, he's taken credit for funding all the schools under the Secure Rural Schools Act. So I did a little bit of research and found out that not only did he not have anything to do with it, it was Bonamici, DeFazio, and Blumenauer, but Greg actually had an amendment to the bill. And the amendment to the bill was to take money away from the schools in order to fund capital investments for the police departments. And my joke was, I guess we need a few more SWAT tanks and the kids can do without some books. You know, we were just all down in Lake County last week, and several of the people were trashing the Democrats and Kate Brown. And here they're all up in, praising this Red Rock project down there, which is the biofield. And I go and do a little research and find out Kate Brown authorized $245 million of state funds, and without that, that project doesn't happen. Yet they're all trashing it. You know, and then Walden, he's raised $2.6 million as of the year end 2017, and $31,000 came from Oregon, $11,000 came from the district. Mike Burns got to stand up the other night and take credit and say, I've raised more money than him. Yeah, he actually has. So what I'm trying to do is show people that what Greg says and what their perception of the Democratic Party is not accurate. There's a lot of people trying to do some good things out there from the Democratic Party, and they're being told different. And the problem is, unless you have the time or the wherewithal to go do this research, which is what I specialize in, you don't know this. So that's what my campaign has been about from the beginning, is showing what Greg Walden says and what he does are two different things, and I just have to help these people understand that a little bit better, and I think they'll support us.
All right. Seven people running for to succeed Greg Walden, they hope, in Congress. Tim White, Jenny Nearing, Jamie McLeod, Skinner, Roz Mason, Jim Crary, Michael Byrne, Eric Burnett. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with all seven in 1 minute. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening and for joining us for an action-packed hour. This may set our record for the number of guests we're getting in to try to make sure they each get a chance to get on the air, because all seven of them are running for Congress for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District as Democrats. The district is currently held by Republican Greg Walden. It is a huge district, the biggest congressional district that isn't an entire state. It stretches from Grants Pass all the way to Idaho. And so includes the majority of Oregon's land mass, but obviously about a fifth of its population. So that's where we are today, talking to Eric Burnett, Michael Byrne, Jim Crary, Roz Mason, Jamie McLeod Skinner, Jenny Nearing, and Tim White. Your questions and comments are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's turn to resource issues, because that's always a constant issue in the 2nd Congressional District, which gets... It has a lot of open land, much of it owned by the federal government, and not a lot of rain, which complicates the management of those lands. And I want to hear from each of you what approach should be taken by the federal government. What's the proper priority for environmental versus economic uses of the lands around us? Let's start with Roz Mason this time.
All right. Well, thank you. You've heard me mention already my focus on climate change, and I understand that people need a story. We need a unifying theme to rally behind, and actually we have one right now. To overcome the divisiveness in our country, if we get our heads and hearts around climate change and begin to act, which is absolutely essential for our long-term survival, CB2 plays a huge role in that nationally, and that's part of lifting up our rural dignity, and we can do that in concrete ways by giving some tax advantages and giving some incentives and support around farm subsidies to to people who are stewarding our ecosystem services. And that means encouraging carbon farming techniques like no-till farming, really ramping up our carbon sequestration that is soil-based. We need to be doing a lot of funding of this sorts of things, not only to draw carbon from the air and lower emissions, but because basically what we have here is another moonshot, another Marshall Plan, another gearing up for World War, like we did for World War II. This can be a positive thing, and there is some transfer of resources involved in that. CD2 plays a tremendous role when it comes to food security for the nation and even internationally. So I propose that we ramp up some payments for that for folks who've been involved in this for a long term. And then the resources that we have that are public around timber and so forth, we can do things to manage those sustainably. We do know that we have increased risks from wildfire these days. And so there's a lot of mitigation that needs to take place. Mm-hmm. And alongside that, we need to be shifting to technology that is greener and that works for our rural communities, because right. Now we're driving the jobs that are really going to see us into the future. So it's a wide, broad approach that lifts people up and provides some economic supports and incentives where needed.
Tim White, resource use in the 2nd Congressional District, particularly in federal lands, where should the priorities lie?
Well, let me preface this by saying what Eric Burnett mentioned, that when we were out in Prineville last week trying to make a connection with these folks, and one of the issues that came up was there is a perception that Democrats value regulation over their livelihoods, and it's one of the divisive issues. And if you look at the towns and the low incomes in the eastern part of the state, there is a valid point there. I think what we need to do is focus on things that work in our area. One of the things that they're emphasizing down in Klamath is that a lot of folks down there that really want to get into hemp production. Hemp production is, you know, obviously you can't get high with it. There's no THC or minimal in it. And it makes over 25,000 products, and it uses about one-third the water. So you have to focus on what are those types of things that fit our environment. I mentioned the dairy farms up in Morrow. That doesn't go with us. It's polluting the environment. And at the same time, it's using an incredible amount of water and feed, and at the same time, we're creating a drinking water issue. So you have to have a combination of what works for us. I think the people want a say in how we use the land. The worst thing that you can do is go out to these folks that have been here for a long time and say, hey, I'm from Washington, and this is how it ought to be, because their response is, you don't know our district, you don't know our livelihoods, and you obviously don't care about it. So these are the things that I want to focus on. How do we put these people at the table and say, well, what is the best use? These people don't want to trash their land any more than Democrats do. They just want a say in the process, and I don't think we've given that to them. And that's what I'm going to try to do to convince them that this is a Democrat with a little different approach to things.
All right. Jamie McLeod Skinner, your approach to resources.
Well, I think there's two big things to look at. One is protecting our vulnerable areas like the Monument area and the Cascade Siskiyou area. But then there's also sustainable use of our natural resources. And the sustainability is really focused on future generations. And there's general agreement we can find across the district on this. Sustainable. In Eastern Oregon, we might talk about stewardship. Bob Skinner used to be the head of the Cattlemen's Association. He's my wife's third cousin. He had me out to the ranch in Eastern Oregon last fall, and we sat down and we talked about natural resource use. And his argument is, and he uses stewardship, but he talks about the need. He wants to pass his ranching operations on to future generations. They've been ranching in Eastern Oregon since the 1800s. And they know, and he well knows, that we have to sustainably manage our resources to continue it. But this also comes back to the water issue and why it's such a critical issue throughout our district and why my background has really been resonating with voters. The other point I'll point to in terms of federal involvement is looking at opportunities through the Farm Bill. And I had an op-ed piece in the Eastern Oregonian about a month ago and was able to really focus on some of the issues of concern for use of our resources, both private and public resources, throughout our state. But that background, again, is seen as really key, so we can balance out the areas we're trying to protect for the more vulnerable areas and sensitive species, but also sustainably use our forests and our grazing lands so that we can continue the traditions we've had in Oregon that predate statehood.
Okay, Jim Crary, let's get your view on resource use in the 2nd District.
On public lands, I am absolutely opposed to the federal government giving federal land or public lands to the counties or to the states. And the reason being, counties and states have to have a balanced budget. They don't have the financial wherewithal. They're going to have a budget deficit, and what are they going to do? They're going to say, hey, we've got this land, we're going to sell it, and then it's never going to be in the public sector again. So I talked to Steve Grassney, the county judge out in Harney County, and he said that the occupiers came to the wrong county. And I said, why? And he said, because we've got this thing called the High Desert Partnership. It's a collaboration. And it's where the environmental people, the ranchers, the Native Americans, people that want to use land for recreational, you know, use, the locals, sit down with the BLM and sit down with the Forest Service. And they all get an opportunity to be heard. None of them get everything they want, but they have that opportunity to be heard. So collaboration is the way to go on deciding how public land should be used.
Michael Byrne, your thought on public land use.
Well, excuse me. Growing up in this district, I worked on cattle ranches. I run cows up on federal lands up in the woods. I've worked in the woods, planted trees and fought fires, and I ran a flagstone quarry, so I've been in the extraction business. And so I've got firsthand knowledge of how these things happen. But the thing I really want to address is, you know, as we listen to each of the candidates, we have so many good ideas collectively. There are so many great ideas, and we have so many great candidates. But if we turn our attention to Washington, D.C., where these things are supposed to be addressed and where our representative is nowhere to be found, nothing happens. Nothing is going on. You know, Jamie mentioned the farm bill. That farm bill has been stalled. Nothing happens in Congress. You could take – this is a soapbox, right? You've got me on a soapbox. Are you giving me a microphone? What is going on in Washington, D.C.? Nothing is going on in Washington, D.C. Our system is broke. First question, why are you running? It's because we have to turn all of these guys out. We need to do all of those. And yes, the ranchers are the best environmentalists out there, and we can't separate the two. Economics and environment, they are the exact same thing here in District 2. This is a resource dependent district, and one of the greatest resources is recreation. Look what's happening in Bend. Look what's happening all over. So the other thing I'd like to mention, since we're talking about this, is the role of Oregon Institute of Technology over in Klamath Falls, mm-hmm. as a research institute for renewable energy, for storage systems. I mean, everything that we need to do to save our planet, to save our district, it can be happening right there, and no one's really talking about that. Well, we should be, and I'm trying to promote this everywhere I go. We okay. have the resources right here to be the champions of the world.
Okay, let me get Jenny Nearing in here to get her
cut
view.
Cut me off, Jeff?
Yeah, I am.
Go ahead.
Oh, that never happens to you, Michael, right?
Never. Go ahead.
Jenny, go ahead. Give me your view on resource use.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with Jim Crary. Federal lands need to stay in federal hands. The different things playing into that are too complex to be dealt with just at a local level, but local and regional input has to be a part of that. Everyone sitting at the table, balancing environmental and resource use and good stewardship of that land. As we look at our growing population and we look at the problems with climate change and how our lands and forests are changing, we think we know how to manage those lands, but those answers are going to change over time. We need to continue to work together collaboratively. We need to be continuing to do research, even as we're looking at how we're going to prevent wildfires as the climate is changing and our forests are so different throughout the district. The answers are not the same in each of those areas, and science and research is going to be a big part of that. It was also really interesting to see how much in Eastern Oregon the problems with the wild horses have been in terms of destroying the environment, and the impact being greater than the cattle ranching in some of those areas. And that's not something we normally think about is, you know, wild horses are wild, that should be environmentally friendly. But the reality is that we get unbalanced and we need to figure out how we're playing a role in that unbalance and how we get things back in balance to preserve our public lands.
Okay. Eric Burnett, finally, your thoughts on correct use of resources in the second district.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. Public lands stay public, period. They belong to everybody from Madras to Manhattan, and that's the way it is, and this way it should stay. Two specific things that I would point to. Number one is urgent. As a former volunteer firefighter, I can tell you that fire behavior is changing. We used to talk about defensible space around houses. We now need to talk about defensible space around communities. And that's going to be, well, as you know, down in Ashland, you're kind of a right at the vanguard of doing this the right way. You know, we're going to have to manage ourselves for fire safety. And that has to happen now. A second thing that I would point to is when I was working on the Columbia River, doing Columbia River infrastructure for export, two things we exported, grain, you know, foodstuffs, and raw logs. Why are we exporting raw logs? Why are we sending raw logs overseas?
We're not from federal land, but we are from private land, correct?
That's correct. Why aren't we, this is our asset. You know, why aren't we as Americans, you know, holding on to those jobs? We can mill timber any way anybody in the world wants it. Let's reopen some mills.
Okay, we got enough time to get about 15 seconds out of each of you. Just for a closing thought on why people should vote for you, let's start with Jim Creary.
Because I want systemic change. I want the way that we finance our elections to be totally changed, and that's with public financing of elections so that people get elected and represent their constituents, not their contributors.
Michael Byrne.
We need somebody to stand up for the working class, somebody who actually is from the working class, someone that understands the issues that confront all of our families every day. And I'm that guy, so vote for me.
Roz Mason.
I'm the Deep Purple Democrat. I really genuinely understand and live my whole life building bridges with people. I can connect with the rural folks, the conservative folks, the liberals, the progressives, everyone. I'm committed to serving our marginalized communities and bringing everyone along. I have a vision and a hope, and I can communicate that effectively. So I'm somebody who can infuse a sense of where we're going.
Tim White.
I'm trying to get people to think about who is the candidate that can actually win this district. Over 20 years, we haven't even gotten close. Democrats want to keep falling on their Democratic sword of principles and not addressing the concerns and the values of the other side. We will continue to lose.
Right.
I'm trying to be that candidate that's going to do this.
Jenny Nearing.
I want to create healthy lives, healthy communities, and healthy opportunities for everyone. And I think I can do that by reaching across divides, because my point is that the person representing this district has to represent everyone, not just the ones that vote for them, but everyone who lives in this district, and I can do that.
All right, Eric Burnett.
I can beat Walden. I've been endorsed by AFL-CIO, our Revolution Southern Oregon.
All right, I'm sorry, we are completely out of time. Jamie McLeod-Skinner, I'm sorry you got burned on this one. I want to thank all the candidates for being here today on The Exchange.